We're going to Missouri in the United States, where the news appears on this side of the Atlantic to be getting ever more grave. Yesterday, a second black man was shot dead by police in St. Louis, close to Ferguson, where Michael Brown was killed last Saturday week. Michael Brown's shooting, of course, by a white police officer, has led to days of community protest and violent confrontations with police, up to and including just a short while ago. Meanwhile, the US Attorney General Eric Holder is due to visit Ferguson at the request of President Barack Obama in the coming hours to assess the situation there. Well, earlier I spoke to CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman. He was at the scene just a few minutes ago in Ferguson, where more arrests were taking place.
Well, we know it was much different than the Michael Brown killing. This gentleman was apparently taking items from a store. He was confronted by police, and this gentleman, according to people who knew him, they describe him as mentally challenged. He did have some emotional issues. But as police were confronting him, he displayed a knife. He lunged towards two police, and that's when he was shot and killed. And the police are saying they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Is it possible for you at this point to determine whether or not the community can separate the Michael Brown killing from this second tragedy?
It seems at this point, and we're late in the night right now on Tuesday night, it seems that the people here in Ferguson this evening have not really brought that up. There have been some people who have complained that perhaps that was a bit too much force. When someone only has a knife, they said, could you have used a taser? Could you have shot him somewhere else? But it has not aroused any large emotions like we've seen here the last week or so.
Well, you're on the streets of Ferguson for us right now. What have you been witnessing this evening?
Well, it was very peaceful until the end, which is somewhat similar to last night. It began with around several hundred people marching around and around and around in this quarter-mile area, which has been the main focus of the protest and, of course, the violence as well. The police were essentially doing nothing. They were letting them march and march. Finally, those who were marching declared the march was over. That's when the problem began, because there were maybe 100, 150 people who were still in this area, and they would not leave. And that's when the problems began. Police put on their riot gear. They gave them warnings. They moved in pretending they were about to make arrests, and that forced many of these stragglers to say, that's enough, I'm leaving. In the end, around 2-3 dozen protesters remained. And as we're talking, they are being arrested. No tear gas has been fired tonight. I have not heard any shots fired tonight. Some bottles were thrown at police. We did see that. But it's been much less confrontational as far as tear gas and gunfire than we've seen the last couple of evenings.
Does that give you any cause for optimism that what's been happening over successive nights in Ferguson may be coming to an end? Or are you worried, indeed, that the opposite is the case and, indeed, these protests and these confrontations may spread to other parts of Missouri and, indeed, other parts of the U.S.?
At this moment, we have seen from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday, which is still here in the U.S., we've seen the intensity, the emotions diminish. Now, obviously, anything can change, but we're ending each night sort of the same way with a confrontation, but the first two nights, it ended with tear gas confrontations. Tonight, so far, it's still going on. We've had no tear gas deployed. It's been much less a show of force than we saw the first two nights. Again, it was a show of force. I'm not trying to say that there weren't maybe dozens and dozens of police lined up, ready to move in. They were there, but it just didn't have the same 800-pound gorilla, if you will. The police were not acting as rough as they did the first couple of nights. I think that's how I would refer to it.
Is the decision by President Obama to send the Attorney General to Ferguson, is that attracting any sort of comment? Is that helping to soothe or to quell the situation?
It's not really having much impact. A bit of impact, maybe. It's really symbolic, the move by Holder to come here. He will come to this area. He will. We expect, and we've not been given the schedule, we expect it's likely he will meet with Michael Brown's family or some representatives. He will, I guess, tour this area. He will meet with officials. He'll probably issue a statement saying that the Justice Department will make sure justice is served. He may make a statement. He may hold a news conference, but it's largely symbolic. Doesn't hurt. It's not. It's good symbolism, but it's. I don't think it's going to change anything dramatically.
So as of now, then, are you expecting to be in Ferguson in much the same position as you are for us at this point in time tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we will be back, and maybe it will be less intense on Wednesday than it was on Tuesday, which was less than Monday, which was less than Sunday. Again, we've had diminishing tension each night. The tension has been there. I'm not trying to say it's all gone. It's not even close to being gone, but it is less each night. And you have the number of people who are being called agitators, that number seems to be dwindling as well.
And that was Steve Futterman, CBS News correspondent, speaking to us just a few minutes ago from Ferguson in Missouri. It's not just journalists, though, who've been observing what's going on. A number of human rights organizations have sent representatives to Ferguson to assess police actions there dealing with protest and indeed confrontation. Human Rights Watch is one of them. Alba Morales is a criminal justice researcher with that organization, and she also spoke to us a little earlier. I asked her, first of all, what she had witnessed in Ferguson.
We've spoken to many witnesses who have been present at protests, and we do acknowledge that police have a very difficult and very important job in protecting the public, but we've spoken to enough people who have been present at times when police have used tactics like rubber bullets, tear gas. I'm sure you've all seen the pictures of the very militarized armored personnel carriers, the riot gear, and we believe that that has the effect of intimidating the protesters and trying to interfere with their right to assemble. I've spoken to people, a few people who've acknowledged that police are using or ordering crowds to disperse and then not giving them the opportunity to disperse. I listened to some audio the other day taken by a journalist who was present when I counted no more than 3 seconds between the initial order to disperse being given, and you could hear the tear gas canisters being fired. And those are all very, very troubling when looked at under a human rights lens.
In your blog, your most recent blog, you've been talking about people saying that the mood there, it feels very much like us, the community, against them when it comes to the police. And you're also saying it feels, and this is a mood description almost, that the law doesn't get into trouble when the law breaks the law.
That's another concern of ours, is accountability. There need to be accountability mechanisms when we give the police a monopoly on power. They're the police. And when you give somebody that much power, there need to be mechanisms for when a citizen has a complaint, where they feel their rights have been violated.
As we've been reporting it over the last number of days, as we've been hearing from Ferguson, there seems to be almost very much two elements to the situation. One, peaceful protest from people who live in the area, people who knew Michael Brown. Secondly, outside forces, elements coming into the area with the specific aim of looting are causing civil unrest.
Last night, we were there fairly late, and we did see some people who were pretty clearly agitators trying to convince the crowd, not so much looting, that we didn't see, but to convince the crowd to confront the police, urging them to rush the police lines. We saw a much larger group of community residents, including clergy. I don't know if they were residents of that particular community, but they definitely were speaking as if they were speaking from a local perspective, urging peace, saying, relax, this is not what we came here to do, everybody just relax. And everybody seems to acknowledge, including all the statements I've seen from law enforcement, that these agitators are a small group, and that they're very much outnumbered by people who are interested in simply gathering to express their outrage and frustration over the death of Michael Brown.
And that was Alba Morales of Human Rights Watch talking to us from Ferguson, where the U.S. Attorney General is due to visit in the coming hours.